Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of Religion.
Brother Salam, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Brother Salam, you can go as long as you want. The broadcast is open.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dearly beloved audience, we welcome in the new year and we greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We acknowledge that we are entering into a new year. And yes, I say to the Islamic technocrat, I know that this is not the new year for the so-called quote-unquote. I know this is not the new year under the Islamic calendar. But I also know you will contort and twist your soul and your into a psychic pretzel after conditioning, after being conditioned all these years to embrace this time of year as the new year. Living in this kind of cultural context and matrix and Malu and Moon, and to try to act like these realities don't influence us. No, this is not the new year. We can always embrace that part of the fitra that's always projecting new life. Die so that we might live. An old cycle coming to an end, a new cycle coming into being. That reminder of the nature of reality is always important to embrace. Be it the new year in the Western context or the new year according to a technical Islamic calendar. Having said that, we would like to just reflect on what time we're living in the context of 2016. Reflect upon it very, very carefully. Contemplate. Prophet Muhammad, the universal mercy to all human beings, not simply to Muslims, nor simply to the Abrahamic family, but to all mankind, a mercy. Say at one moment of reflection and contemplation is better than hours and hours of salah, of actually being dutiful and devout and devoted in prayer. So before we get caught up in the rat race of another year, let us take a moment to reflect and see what this thing is all about. And when we reflect, dearly beloved audience, our reflection should be not just be dominated by the authority of this world's life. Not when we reflect. When we talk about reflection and contemplation, we're talking about the outward manifestation of the work of God. His signs, his evidence, his constructive proofs in the heavens and earth, in our social order, and within ourselves. And if we reflect, we will be blessed with wisdom and understanding. You know, last year the world made a big deal about the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March, and its 50th anniversary and commemoration and acknowledgement and celebration. And we don't have any problem with that. But the world will not even mention a probably greater event that occurred in Selma as far as the future of mankind some 50 years earlier, some 49 years earlier. And this year, in 2016, we will mark the 100th anniversary of that event. You would have to really study the history of African American people within the historical context of the American experience to be familiar with this event that I'm going to call to your attention. There's an African-American sister scholar who did a study of the 20th century phenomenon called the Great Migration, where large numbers of African-Americans migrated from the South and made a very vital and significant journey to the northern states and northern urban centers, New York City, Baltimore, Maryland, Newark, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois, Detroit, Michigan, Oakland, California, L.A., and many, many other areas. Even though the migration was out west, some of that migration was part of this phenomenon called the Great Migration. This scholar, I think her name is Isabel Wilkinson. She pointed out a fact that's rare in terms of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement and those who talk about and familiar with and have researched and studied African-American history in this country. She goes and points out that, in her opinion, the seminal start for the Great Migration, even though it's generally affiliated or associated, at least, with the year 1915. Actually, she stipulates very cogently that the actual kickoff was in 1916. Please be patient with me, dearly beloved audience. You know, I always try to view history in the context of hierarchical history or sacred history. All of history is sacred. It's neither secularized nor materialized or materialistic nor overly mundane. Even though a complete holistic understanding commands and demands that we be concerned about the secular or mundane variables in history, the social conditions, the economic, the political, the cultural traditions. But the primary focus of history has always been and always should be the sacred component. So she acknowledges that this great migration occurred, the beginning, the catalyst, the initiatory thrust happened when a small group of people left Selma, Alabama in 1916, some 100 years ago this year. And even though we must acknowledge that the events of 49 years later in 1965 in Selma, Alabama, had a profound impact, significant impact on the history of our people, the history of America and global man. We must really acknowledge that. But that impact must be relegated to a lesser state of import than what occurred when the great migration to the promised land commenced officially out of historic Selma, Alabama in 1916. I would dare say that in this city of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, 99.9% of African Americans in Selma are not even familiar with this historical fact. And the ones who are familiar, they heard it from Imam Yusuf Abdus Salam. Both Muslims and Christians, if they are familiar, they heard it from Imam Yusuf Abdus Salam. There has not been but one migration in the history of humanity that had more influence on the development of mankind than the Great Migration here in America in the first part of the 20th century. That extended in time some say through the mid-60s of the 20th century. The only other migration that has been of greater influence, and that's the migration of Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina. That's why, in order for everything to be historically in sync, this second most significant migration in the history of mankind, the great migration of African-American people following the North Star, following not the Underground Railroad this time, but the Above Ground Railroad, the In the Air Railroad, the Spiritual Highway. That migration was indeed a weighty phenomenon. Everything is in sync historically. See, Prophet Muhammad's grandfather migrated from Medina to Mecca. He migrated when his uncle came over to pick him up and to bring him to Mecca. We're talking about Medina now, the enlightened city. But he could not have been successful in his goal if Prophet Muhammad's grandfather, paternal grandfather, mother, Selma, had not given her permission. And from her permission came a chain of events which led to the coming of Muhammad in Mecca. So Selma will forever be identified with Mecca, Medina, I'm sorry, and Medina always with enlightened government. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's light in heaven, and the kingdom on earth should be enlightened. And Medina was the answer to that prayer. So in America, one man, one vote came out of Selma, which forever identified and dignified the individual dignity as a citizen of an enlightened governmental order. But more importantly, the great migration out of Selma would eventually bring to America the light that was utilized by the prophet and his supporters in Medina to build an enlightened community. The fruits of that great migration here in America eventually led to that wonderful result. So we acknowledge in 2016 this 100th anniversary. 7 years, dearly beloved audience, during this roughly 50-year span that's identified as the Great Migration, an individual from a brutal, racist, oppressive state, the state of Georgia, an individual by the name of Elijah Poole migrated from Cordia, Georgia. You could almost take the path of Highway U.S. Interstate 75 straight up that road into the Detroit, Michigan, the physical path of his migration. 7 years after the start of the Great Migration, 1923, 1301 years after the migration of Prophet Muhammad to Medina in 622. From 622 to 1922 in the Western calendar, that's 1300 years. Add 1923. So almost exactly 1300 years after the Prophet migrated, the second greatest act of migration in human history. What about all those other great migrations? By none other than the Prophet's migration to Medina in 622. The migration of Elijah Poole to Detroit, Michigan in 1923, 52 years later, in 1975, after the great migration had exhausted itself, Imam Walter D. Muhammad brought the light, the son of Elijah Poole, brought the light that the prophet displayed, projected, and established in Medina. Up Highway 75, a sign for the exact year. When the promised land would be reached and our African American experience toward Canaan. Also, there were other great African movement, not a migration but a Hajj, by Mansa Musa in 1324, where he left West African Muslimdom and made Hajj to Mecca, took so much gold that he upset the entire global financial establishment. Some 700 years plus two after Muhammad's migration to Medina, some 700 years exactly, to the day when the light was established in the Battle of Badr, when the day of decision occurred. Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, migrated 1623, some 1300 years plus one from the Battle of Badr. 700th anniversary would have been, 1300th anniversary would have been 1924. All of this history has been divinely orchestrated and designed and planned by a master creator of infinite skill, Almighty God Allah. Elijah Muhammad didn't migrate to Chicago during this great migration. He didn't migrate to Milwaukee. He didn't migrate to Philly. He didn't migrate to the Big Apple. He passed by Toledo, that old, that city with the name of that old African-influenced Islamic history in Moorish Spain, Toledo. And when these Africans came out of Africa into Egypt, I mean into Spain, into Europe, I'm sorry, they went across Detroit, the Gibraltar. Detroit means Strait in French. The Strait of Gibraltar in the Spain. So Detroit is associated with old world African Muslim excellence. The Moorish history in Spain that brought the Renaissance to Europe, that brought good relations between Jews, Christians, and Muslims for multiple centuries. He migrated to Toledo, Ohio. I mean, past Toledo, Ohio, and to this day, right before you enter Detroit, you see a big masjid on Highway 75 leading into Detroit, where the Nation of Islam was founded. Not in Illinois, not in Pennsylvania, not in Ohio, not in New York, but in Michigan, which means land of the great water. The great water is the best lakes that Allah sent down in the form of revelation. The great water of the revealed word. And it's five great lakes in this land, symbolizing the five pillars of Islam. It was planned, it was orchestrated that the Nation of Islam would be founded. During this period of the Great Migration, as a result of the migration of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to Detroit, Michigan in 1923. And exactly 10 years later, his son, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, would be born in Detroit, Michigan, across from the land of Canaan, Canada. Across from a place in Canada called Wallaceville in Moorestown. These are the signs of God. On Union Street, the name of the great African kingdom of Saba or Shiva. Barad Muhammad knew this, so he told Elijah, before he born you, move on Woman Street. Allah planned this, Allah designed this. And in 2016, we acknowledge the 100th anniversary of the beginning of a migration that was second only in historical importance to the hijra that Prophet Muhammad made in 622 Western calendar timing. And out of that movement came an image where Imam Muhammad is standing over his father with a big Quran, and in the background is an alleged image of Farad Muhammad also with a Quran. What light was brought to Medina out of Mecca? The light of the Quran embodied in the resurrected Christ nature of Muhammad. The 13 years in Mecca was designed to strengthen and evolve the Christ maker in Muhammad and his Sahabas. But when they migrated, there was no more just the darkness of their excellent Christ nature, but they had Quran. So the prophet was told, no more migration now, only jihad, or struggle in the light of Quran with your excellent nature to pattern the enlightened Ummah out of the enlightened city of Medina. And that light was brought back to the planet as a result of Elijah going north, following the North Star, the Freedom Star, looking for the land of Canaan, looking for the Promised Land. Now, we know that many of our friends and relatives who made that migration ended up in hell and not a Promised Land. But according to Quran, God bless the people to one soul. And out of that one soul that's enlightened can come countless men and women, north, south, east, and west. Not just African American, but all of mankind. Enlightened from that one soul that God guided to complete our freedom journey as a people here in North America. Some 50 years later, another relatively unknown event occurred in 1966, some 50 years ago, when the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad met our wonderful leader, the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They met physically in Chicago in 1966. Let us take a look at this. Chicago was a city that was founded by an African American. It's a town, it's a governmental unit. So even though the person who brought the light was born in Detroit, Allah gave him the light in Chicago, Illinois. Developed the light within him. I'm talking about the late Imam Walter D. Muhammad in Detroit. I mean in Chicago. a city founded by an African American. But Dr. King couldn't take Chicago. Between 1965 and 1966, he had tried to bring his movement in to Chicago with limited success. He did not have the light to take the empire that was symbolized in Mayor Richard Daley, the strong empire that is symbolized in Richard the Lionhearted, the Christian crusader that tried to war against the religion of Al-Islam. But ironically, this light of the Christian empire was not powerful enough to liberate the subjects of that empire, African-American people, even under the leadership of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King represented the good spirit of Mecca. The Nation of Islam represented an attempt to bring God's rule on earth in a community. But neither Elijah nor Dr. King had the light. King represented the spirit of the integrationists. Elijah Muhammad represented the spirit of the black nationalists. And out of that pair came the light that reconciled both, as brought from the Quran by Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. It was only after the man got the light that African Americans could come in the room, first in the form of Harold Washington, who heralded a time of the coming of one of us who would not only rise up as a leader in Chicago, but over this nation. Harold Washington was one who heralded the coming of President Barack Hussein Obama. Who in his development in Chicago had to be influenced on some level by the light, by the enlightenment that Almighty God had guided Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad to. So yes, Elijah and Dr. King met in Chicago after Dr. King ran out of steam in Selma of 1965, moved to Chicago, but could not take Daley and his forces. It's only when African Americans got the great light of Quran in its purity in Chicago that it really became a black man's town in the sense of governance. Well, you say we got Rahm Emanuel today? Yes! Because unlike Obama, the majority of you in Chicago rejected the light. And we can see the dreadful consequences of that rejection today. other man in African American history had been president of these United States. Jesse was from Chicago. He didn't make it. Why is it that the president didn't come out of Atlanta, Georgia? Dr. King came out of Atlanta, Georgia. Maynard Jackson, a great governmental figure in Atlanta, came out of Atlanta. He had to come out of Chicago, Illinois, because that's where the light was. And in order for him to become president of these United States, he had to shine a great light. I'm talking about President Barack Hussein Obama. This is what we got to understand. In the year 2016, as his tenure come to an end, but the light that he benefited from in 2016, 2017, 2018, all the way up to 2030, when the Nation of Islam will celebrate its 100th anniversary, expounding on the Farad Muhammad on that mythical date, July 4th, 1930. Don't you be surprised if the light that Allah gave Imam Muhammad is shining brightly big time in America in 2030. Don't you be amazed. Don't you be surprised. Matter of fact, you ought to expect that. The great light of Quran was lost. Look at what happened on this around about the first of this year. The Saudis calling themselves Sunni executing dozens of Shiites over in Arabia as we speak. Both were in dark. Prophet Muhammad said, today it was revealed to the prophet, pardon me, that the religion had been completed, and I'm paraphrasing, and that God Almighty had named it Al-Islam. If God Almighty named it Al-Islam, then who has the arrogance? Who has the temerity? Who has the insolence? Who is so contemptuous of their Lord that they would attempt to name it something else? Sunni Islam. Shia Islam. I remember when I didn't know anything about Al-Islam, I used to hear people talk about Islam. Islam this. And they used to distinguish the Nation of Islam from other Muslims by calling the other Muslims Sunni or Orthodox Muslims. There's no such thing as a Sunni Muslim. There's no such thing as an Orthodox Muslim. There's no such thing as Shia Islam. That's darkness. Sunni Islam, that's darkness. But I remember when Allah gave one with as nappy as Belial or understanding. I remember him saying that our religion is not Islam. He said the religion is Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad brought that clearly to America because God had given him the light of this religion. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that darkness would come upon his ummah. And when we see what's happening in the Muslim world today, the problems can be summed up with one word, Jahiliyyah. Regressing back to Jahiliyyah. Going back to darkness. Going back to the days of Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. Allah knew they were going to go back. Prophet Muhammad prophesied that they would go back. But they praying and Allah praying. Did I tell you that I was going to do something with one who had as nappy as the hair? Did Muhammad hear his footsteps? Falling up behind his bright Quranic light. Yes, I repeat, there's never been a more important migration other than the Hijra of Prophet Muhammad than what occurred officially 100 years ago out of Selma, Alabama, the beginning officially of the Great Migration. This massive demographic movement, but more importantly, hieroglyphic movement, wherein the relative freedom of mind and soul, the African-American from under the gun in the South, could study freely and be blessed to use their acumen and their heart and mind and their common sense to eventually be brought to the truth. One soul, Imam Warifuddin Muhammad. Who in 75 and 76, as America experiences bicentennial, 200 years of its celebration, was bringing the light 60 years from 1916. 1975, 1976 was on the scene bringing the light. 200 years from the birth of Gabriel Prosser, born the same year of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The first freedom fighter whose name was a signal of the end. As it was in the beginning, the first freedom fighter, Gabriel, and the final freedom fighter came with the book that Jibril or Gabriel brought the Prophet Muhammad, the glorious Quran, the Quran Kareem, the generous Quran, the Quran Mubin, the clear Quran. Dearly beloved audience, CNN is not going to give you this. The newspaper, the commentators, the rappers are not going to give you this. This understanding is a blessing from the Creator. The Creator teaches us from the prophets on down in the fellowship of the believers to just the common brothers and sisters like you and I. Don't you understand? 2016. They got this Star Wars. Yes, there was, we know in Bible, there was this war in the heavens. in their tradition where Lucifer, the light bringer, allegedly broke God and took a third of the angels with him. We know that there was no war in the Quranic heaven. God was in charge. Satan challenged the man, not God. And God, Allah threw him out. Get ye down from here. He didn't take any angels with him. He took jinn. After all, he was the leader of the jinn. So now they bring out in 2016 with all this knowledge, and they got the nerve to base anything in this little everything in this little sandy land called Jakku. Go check the move out. Blatantly talking about the influence of the mind of Jacob over this world. And they got this little African American running around in there. There's a composite character of President Obama, a little bit of Imam in him, not much, but a little bit. But more importantly, composite character of that weak general African American male. They talking about the poets have awakened. And that they're going to strip the Caucasian male of power. That it's time now for the women to be given the scepter of light. Does that mean that the decision has already been made for Hillary? Only time will tell. But let me tell you, the real force of Adam in the resurrected human being began to awaken big time in 1916. That's why the very next year in African American history, Philip Randolph and Chancellor Owens started a periodical called The Messenger, which was a sign that this fella was going to migrate out of the South. Like Randolph came out of Florida, he'll come out of Georgia. And people would end up calling him the messenger. We know he was not the messenger in the sense of Prophet Muhammad, Rasul. But he, the natural force of the human being, began to awaken. And it was only a matter of time before an Adam-like person was blessed with the revelation of Quran. We don't depend upon any natural force in creation based upon some Yahweh-like natural elements in the creation. Yahweh, the four sacred forces, tetragrammaton, all that foolishness. Allah is the creator. He's above creation. He beat it, but Allah is not fed. Dearly beloved Muslim, dearly beloved believer, if you see what I see, buddy, 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 your faith will be so strong. Your conviction will be magnified and strengthened. And we know Prophet Muhammad said that conviction is my power. And yes, this is also the year of the 50th anniversary of the coming officially of Black Power out of Greenwood, Mississippi, as uttered by, at the time, Stokely Carmichael. But black power cannot bring fire out of greenwood, according to Surah 26. Yes, 36. Yes, and only Allah can bring fire out of greenwood. So, yeah, we're going to acknowledge black power movement in summer 66. We understand the Meredith March. We know what Stokely said in Greenwood, but we know what Quran said Allah can bring out what he want to the fire out of green trees. Surah number 36, yes, saying about Muhammad. Dearly beloved audience, if you listen to what's been articulated, stipulated, and alleged in a bird this last hour, go back and review it, then you will be in sync with the signs of the time in 2016. The light of Imam Muhammad that was given to him as the pearl and fruit of the great migration will get brighter and brighter and brighter. All the way up to 1930, the birth of the Nation of Islam, and 1933, the 100-year anniversary of the physical birth of Imam Wahduddin Muhammad. Man is not in charge of this thing. The white man is not in charge. Everywhere you look today, all the wise men are talking about how Esau, the Gentile, the Caucasian male, is losing his power. All over, they were talking about this on, I'm told, Meet the Press today. Fareed opened up with a little commentary on it. But they told you in Star Wars, this thing came from the land of Jakku. They spell it J-A-K-K-U, Jakku. And Jacob predicted, look, we're going to let Esau go until he reaches fullness, until we use him as a puppet on the rope to establish global Western dominance over other men. At that time, we're going to bring him down. He's nothing but our little puppy, a puppet. And in Isaiah, we call him a dumb dog. Your white daddy that you fear, that you always crying about, talking about some racism, he's always been on a good rope. A European raped by Zeus or by Jupiter the Father. Jupiter. Yeah, and George Lucas bragging on this little thing in Star Wars. Take everything back to the desert of Jakku or Jakku. In the Semitic language, Jakku is with a Y. In English, Jacob is with a J. You run around here. Black folk need to do this. Black folk need to do that. We need to follow the plan of God. Stop trying to be a genius. Trying to figure this thing out on your own. You don't have the brain power, the gray matter to do that. Follow the one who's all knowing, who's all wise, and we will be successful. We follow a living God. And it's so blessed in this new year, 2016, to have presented this message on religion means alive. We're not arrogant. We're not insolent. We're humble. But we are confident and bold in our advocacy. This has been Religion Means Alive. May Almighty God bless each and every one of us with a most excellent human life. We leave you as we greeted you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.